The Voices Dot Earth podcast series is brought to you by the Dot Earth Domain. In each episode, we shine a light on organizations and individuals who are part of the growing Dot Earth tribe, as well as those outside of our tribe who are all making our planet a better place. In this Voices Dot Earth podcast interview, we are speaking with Edward Platero, who is a multidisciplinary artist and is the creator of the Joshua Tree Dot Earth, which is a super cool project that is digitally preserving a major piece of musical history, which is the location of the iconic album cover of U2's classic record that we all love, the Joshua Tree. And Edward, thank you so much for joining us today.
Matt, thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, this is super cool. I know we were talking briefly here before we hit the record button, but we're really excited about this one. And thanks for reaching back out to us about this interview, because this is certainly an exciting one. And with that in mind, let's start at the top. How did you get the idea to do this project? And then tell us a little bit more about the project itself.
So it's kind of serendipitous, I guess, that we're speaking to today. Yesterday marked the 10-year anniversary of my very first visit to the Joshua Tree. I'm a cinematographer by trade, and that week of my life, I was on assignment in LA for a week. We had 2 days of our production canceled, so I had 2 free days off in LA to kind of explore. Just like thinking of things to do, I was like, maybe I'll go to Joshua Tree National Park. Then kind of pull on that thread, I was like, maybe I'll go see the Joshua Tree. So after some research and try to find out where it is, a big misconception people have is that the Joshua Tree is located in Joshua Tree National Park. It's not. It's about 4 hours away from there.
Oh, so no idea. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. The tree is actually located in Death Valley in the Mojave Desert. So as I found that piece out, kind of mapped it out, and it was about a 3-hour drive from where I was staying at the time, and thought, I'll take a chance and go see if I can find this thing. 10 years ago, it wasn't as documented as it is now. So it was a little bit more challenging to find. And it was a thing that the first place I thought it might be, I drove out there, walked around the desert, couldn't find it. I had to drive it back more closer to Lone Pine, because at that 10 years ago, when I was trying to find it, there was not much cell coverage out there. So I couldn't search anything. I'd have to drive to get into civilization to research it again and go for my second trip. So my second time, like on the same day, my second attempt now, after repositioning myself, parked the car, walked out in the desert, kind of walking around aimlessly. And then I just saw like a reflection of something man-made in the distance. It looked not like anything else that was out there. And so I was like, well, I'll just take a walk up to it and see what's out there. And then as I walked closer, I saw a guitar. And that just kind of was a homing beacon to me. And I walked out there, and it was just surreal, very surreal to just stand there. And I was like, to stand alone in the desert, kind of weird to begin with. But to be standing there and standing in this iconic place was kind of weird to wrap my head around. So I sat out there 10 years ago, listened to the album, you know, did some stuff with the rocks, stuff to a million pictures, wrote my name in some of the books out there. And then just came home, did a blog post, chalked it up as an experience that, wow, that was cool to do. Back in 2020, as a traveling cinematographer, again, found myself in LA for a week on assignment with a few days of downtime, and decided, you know, I'm going to go back up to the tree. It's been about 8 years since I've been out there. I'd like to see, you know, it was a nice trip. I like the desert. And then as I was thinking about going out there, I was like, well, you know, I have my DSLR, have my drone. Might as well go and I go out there and document this. In a 10-year gap of being out there, my technology called photogrammetry was kind of became more tangible to the home user. And I just wrapped a few projects where I did some photogrammetry on them. So it was kind of interesting to go out there and with the now as the intent to preserve it. So in January 2020, I went out there, took 4,000 pictures and bought the domain. JoshuaTree.earth to use that as the entry point, really, because it's this point on the earth that we're trying to create this little historical place for people to visit.
That's so cool. And I imagine too that, I mean, it's got to be a beloved album for you. It certainly is for me. I mean, it came out in what, 86, 87. I was in high school at the time. So my formative years of my youth
That was a very important record. I imagine it's probably the same for you as well, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I was 13 years old when that came out, and I have a very distinct memory of going to Sam the Record Man in downtown Toronto with my father and putting down $14 for that vinyl and bringing it home. And like, I just remember sitting in my room, just looking at the cover, looking at the back, like it is a gatefold and everything. I mean, I'm a kid from Canada, right? And like, to me, the desert just seemed like a whole other planet. So it really captured my imagination. And, you know, and it's crazy to think now, 35 years now, you know, I have some sort of weird connection to this. So
that's amazing. Here's an off the cuff question for you. Side one or side two, what do you prefer of the album?
Oh, that's a good side. I'm going to go with side two.
Same, 100%. Because you said 30 years ago, or the 30-year anniversary, they did the tour where they played the full album. I didn't go, but I read all the reviews, and one of the New York Times reporter was like, well, you know, when they got to the subpar second side of the album, they still maintained their energy. And I thought, subpar second side? What are you talking about, man? Red Hill Mining Town, Trip Through Your Wires, One Tree Hill is so good. It's like, do people think that? You know, like that side two is no good? Because that's the magic, I think.
Well, yeah. I mean, the side one's where all the hits are, right?
Yeah.
Side two is like the deep cuts. So it's I mean, I guess that is a point of attention for people.
Yes, it is. That's funny. I figured you'd agree on side two there.
Yeah.
So yeah, you got photogrammetry. You got all sorts of technology going on here. So tell us a little bit more about the technology behind
it. So using this photogrammetry technique, where I'm able to stitch all of these photos together to make a perfect 3D recreation of the tree and the site, all the grounds and everything around it. So I have done 4 scans of the tree now. So the purpose of this is it helps us because since I've started this project, in the 2 years that I've been working on this now, the tree has suffered massive vandalization, probably more in the past 2 years than it did in the last 10. So it allows us to document this, and we can look at this and we can see how the tree's deteriorating because we can look at its 3D model. We can spin it around. We can get in really close also, but we can see where the people are starting to mess with this thing, and it's starting to get really bad. If I'm being honest, it's becoming very concerning to us that are involved in this project because it has gotten so bad over the past 2 years.
Yeah, that's a shame to hear that. And the tree itself, was it knocked down or did it fall down around 2000? Is that
so? In my research, and everyone I've talked to who's kind of been involved in the lore of the tree, there are a few arguments. Like, people have different views. Some people think it was struck by lightning, and that's what caused it to come down. My personal thing is, if you look at how the desert is, where the tree is located in the desert, there's actually like a little dip or like a ravine in the ground. I think that somehow the roots kind of came disconnected or something happened because the tree sits like the way it's crashed now, it's kind of sitting up on this dip. Yeah. So I think that the erosion of the ground may have something to do with it. It's so hard to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when it was discovered by fans, as far as I know, in the historians that I've spoken to that have been involved in this, the first guy who found it, the guy who actually put the plaque down there, when he found it, it was on the ground, and that was the year 2000.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting. So the project itself, are you getting funding for it? Are you going to spread the word of it? I mean, this is really awesome. It should be, you know, completely funded and supported and all that.
So as, you know, as all passion projects, right, you know, these are the things that kind of, I'm sitting here in a weird, peculiar spot with it because it is a passion project for me and it does have a piece of musical history. As a creator myself, I'm always hesitant to go to crowdfunding and stuff like that just because, you know, like, I don't want to, like, we're struggling through difficult times in the world right now. I'd rather people keep their money for themselves and try to figure out a way we could put this out with some sort of injection of cash into it. So far, it's just been my time and time that I have other friends and artists of mine have helped out. They've all donated their time to this. We did receive a grant from the London Arts Council, which is our local arts council in the city I live in Canada. And that essentially has paid for all my hosting, like my website hosting fees. Every time we do one of these models, we pay to license. Like, even though I took the images, it's a cloud-based processing system. So we pay for photo we use for the 3D reconstruction. So that the grant money has kind of helped me with some of the out-of-pocket stuff, but it's not been a lot.
Yeah, passion project all the way. That's great.
Passion project, yeah. So
I would be the same way with this.
I mean, my goal is to get it to a certain point and then present it to the band and say, like, this is kind of what we're doing. You know, I'm sure that if there's a way for them to kind of, you know, take the work we've done and then just kind of stand on our shoulders to put their stamp on it, that would be fantastic.
That was going to be my next question. Any word from the band or people representing the band? Any interactions with the YouTube cam?
So, like I said, I'm a working cinematographer, and in my career, I have worked for big name production companies, big name companies, projects. And in my travels, my clientele, there is a connection to the band, and it's something that we want to make sure everything's perfect and presented well before we knock on that door.
Yeah, I got you.
You know, I don't want to be like, hey, guys, this is a really cool idea we have. It's more like, hey, guys, this is a cool idea we've had. Here is all the work we've put into it. Yeah. So we're just kind of handing them this project on a silver platter, and then they can decide what they want to do.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
It's about biding our time to do it smartly, because I don't want to come off as like we're crazy fan stalkers or anything like that. It's more about preserving this chunk of desert, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. Cool. And then also your website is thejoshuatree.earth. Great URL. What made you choose .earth to go with this project?
For me, when I thought about this, this was a first in a series of, there's a lot of album cover music that's based on real world locations. And this was kind of my first foray into, I would like to do this for multiples. So, you know, like a .com or .net, I thought, well, first of all, the band might come after me for snagging that, and it's probably not available. But as I felt putting the .earth, using the .earth domain on it, it really cemented it into, this is a preservation project, right? We're trying to preserve this 1 kilometer square patch of desert on the earth. That's it, right? We're not looking, you know, like, and I figured the domain just kind of helped ground it into a preservation project, not a commercial project.
Nice. That's awesome. That makes a lot of sense there. And you talked about potentially getting everything all buttoned up to hopefully present to the band and see what happens from there. And I wish the best with that. That would be amazing. What are your other future visions for this? Are you going to, I don't know, keep doing different photogrammetry videos every year? Or are you going to keep adding to it? Or is there, what's the future vision?
As I'm sitting every day, I put some time into this now. I think I mentioned I've been working on this for 2 years. It's funny. This was a project that I started pre-COVID. Like I mentioned, I'm Canadian. I was a Canadian who traveled a lot. So my goal was, I start this project, I'm in LA at least once a quarter. I can always zip out there and do this. So I figured it would be an ongoing thing. However, actually my third scan of the tree, we took it on March 9th, 2020. So we kind of got back from that thing. We're ready to hit the ground running. The pandemic basically killed my business and my whole company. We had to really pivot and streamline our business to survive the pandemic. And, you know, when that happens, passion projects kind of have to sit on the shelf. So as we've kind of been able to get back into normal, this thing has now come off the shelf and has become a part of my daily routine, my daily workflow. I said, I'm a one man doing this by myself. When I even started this project 2 years ago, I didn't even know Unreal Engine. So I've spent the time learning that as well. As far as the future, I see this like a downloadable app that you can download, walk around the desert, click on any of the items on the tree. They'll tell you the history of it. The things I've built into it right now. So right now it runs, you know, real-time weather. So the conditions that are down at the tree right now are real-time updated in the experience we have. If it starts raining at the tree, it's going to start raining in our simulation. So, and then just basically comparing the models as we scan, keep on scanning the tree, you could say, okay, show me the tree, show me this scan, show me this scan. So you can look at how this thing's deteriorated. It can be I see it as a standalone desktop application, could be phone-based or an iPad thing or VR. Some of the assets that I'm developing, we're going to be putting on the site very shortly, are augmented reality. Like I could take the scans and put it into an augmented reality experience. So you could put the tree on your floor of your living room and through your phone, kind of walk around and explore the space like you're there. Wow. So those things should be up this week. 2 years ago when we launched the site, we did try putting that on there, but we had a lot of technology pushback on it. And so we've kind of, as I mentioned, my company pivoted in the past years. Well, we pivoted heavily into augmented reality. So it's allowed us to now bring this humongous scan we had and now make it a little more tangible. So anyone with an iPhone can essentially walk around the site with no extra hardware.
That is super cool. Wow, Edward, that's amazing. So, you know, really appreciate your time today. Obviously, this is a passion project for you. This is very much passion for us because we're fans, as many people are out there. And, you know, before we sign off today, is there anything else to add or anything we may have missed?
I think the one thing that we wanted to kind of show and everything is that, like, this is a touchstone for fans across the world. People do make these crazy trips to come out to this patch of desert, which is not easy to get to. And while that is great that people are out there connecting with this, the tree, we're also seeing a lot of negative. People want to be there and they want to mark that they're there. So they're carving their name into the tree and stuff like that. And that is starting to become very concerning because it's the last video I saw from the location. There's so much graffiti on the tree and now people are painting their names into it and stuff. And I understand that they want, you know, fans want to connect with this, but like every time that happens, like we're deteriorating this thing more.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not worth it. It's like, put your name in there so you can post a cool picture of it on Instagram. Like, tell us your story. Take all the pictures. Tell us the story of your trip. We'll post it on the website.
Yeah.
Just so that the YouTube community can know you're there. Right.
Yeah.
So
not cool.
And so the one person I worked with this project on, his name is George G. If you go to our website, there's a beautiful video that's on there. We've actually hosted on George's YouTube channel. George has been going to the tree for almost 10 years now, and he's kind of the unofficial caretaker of the site. He's there every 5 to 6 weeks. He's from Texas. He drives up to California, and every time he's in California, he goes to the tree. He cleans it up. If it's damaged, he repairs it. And he has an excellent video. Like, he's been documenting his trips for the last 10 years up there. And when search as George G. Joshua Tree on YouTube, you'll be able to see the videos that he's released. We've actually rolled it up to one big playlist, so it's easy to kind of go down that rabbit hole. But I think out of everyone on the internet, he has probably the best historical record of the tree. And I've been very fortunate now to have been working with George for the past 2 years on this project. And he's a beautiful man and such a kindred soul that I'm so happy that this kind of project kind of connected us. A Canadian and a Texan teaming up to do this. It's the most unlikely of duos, but he's been an amazing resource to have because he's a walking encyclopedia of that tree.
Oh, that's so neat. Wow, that's cool. You know, on a completely separate note, I also like visiting rock and roll historical sites. And you lived in Europe for several years from 2014 to 2017. And I dragged my kids to the Apple Beatles headquarters, which is now in Abercrombie and Finch, which is just kind of a sacrilege right there. Speaking of, you know, and I actually tried to go up on the roof. I had pushed up.
Oh, yeah.
The alarm went off. So I didn't make it to the top. And then we also went to Berlin and we went to the Hansa studio where U2 recorded Achtung Baby and Bowie did all of his great work too. Nice. And that was really neat to see that. So I'm totally with you on these historical rock and roll kind of location, and props to you all for taking this effort on to really preserve it in a digital way where anybody can experience it. And who knows, maybe you'll raise more awareness for this so people will wisen up and stop messing with it. Let's not desecrate, which is really kind of like a sacred spot, you know, in terms of
popular culture. Exactly.
You know,
I think that trees probably got between 5 and 10 years before it either is disintegrated in the ground or it's completely stolen.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised people haven't stolen it. Knock on wood. I hope they don't. Gosh,
I don't want to put that out there.
Yeah, we don't want that to happen, but
awesome. People have sawed off humongous chunks of it and taking it home.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just, it's sad. It's very sad.
Yeah, it is sad. Awesome. Well, Edward, really appreciate your time. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Voices Dotter podcast interview with Edward Platero, who's a multidisciplinary artist and the creator of the Joshua Tree.Earth, which is a project that is digitally preserving a piece of like significant musical history, which is the location of the iconic album cover of U2's classic record, which we all love, the Joshua Tree. And Edward, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Matt, so much for having me on.
Thank you for listening to this segment. .Earth is a real live internet domain that anyone can use. Listeners can go to our Voices.Earth site to find out what others are doing with their unique .Earth domains. Through Voices.Earth, you can also secure your own .Earth domain name through all major registrars.